time for brunch.
Empower.
Inspire.
Connect.
Ignite your journey.
Greetings, runners, dreamers, and Disney fans. Welcome to another magical episode of Time for Brunch. I'm Coach Christine. I'm joined by the fabulous Coach Shelby. Together, we're your guides to turn running dreams into reality. Today's episode is very near and dear to our hearts, and it's sprinkled with extra pixie dust as we delve into the enchanting world of Run Disney with very special guests. But before we bring on our first guest, we want to make sure that you're aware that we've crafted something quite magical for you, the Ultimate Run Disney Guide. It's a treasure trove of information, including training plans, packing lists, nutrition tips, mindset, a lot of motivation, and so much more to ensure your Run Disney experience is nothing short of a happily ever after. And the best part, it's absolutely free. Find that download link in our episode notes and make it yours today. Now, again, we can't wait to get started with all of our incredible guests. So we're going to kick off with our Run Disney travel expert, and she's an aspiring, perfect Run Disney season participant. She's going to provide invaluable insights on how to make your Disney adventure absolutely unforgettable. From picking the perfect resort for you to maximizing park time in between races, let's go ahead and get this started. Friends, we are so excited here at Brunch because we get to welcome in someone who's near and dear to our hearts and, of course, a whole lot of fun. Ashley Rose, not just a mere mortal, but a modern day fairy tale magic maker. She is a TFB training athlete, a Disney specialist at Mystical Dream Travel, and a champion of enchanted endeavors because Ashley sprinkles on a little pixie dust to every step she takes, and she's embarking on her own perfect season quest in the Run Disney series. While Ashley is living a tale as old as time, proving that determination and a touch of magic, any dream is within reach. Welcome, Ashley. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Quite the introduction there, because there's just too much to encapsulate into one little intro. So Ashley, before we get too far into it, I can't wait for you to tell us, how in the world did you get started on this Run Disney adventure?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because it's a very non-accepted response. I actually got into Run Disney from a friend that I met online through Disney. We started chatting. She's like, hey, you should come do this sometime. I had been running for a little while and started doing virtual Run Disney, never in person. Just like, come down, let's do Springtime Surprise when it was brand new. And I was like, okay, like Remy, so let's do that. And signed up for the 10K for Springtime Surprise. And I was like, you know what? This 10 miler is so open. Let's challenge myself and let's just do both of them. Went down, met them for the very first time in person. And it's become a tradition to go hang out with them on race weekends. And ever since then, I've just fallen in love with Run Disney. And here I am trying it a perfect season.
So you were a Disney fan before you took the leap into Run Disney, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. I'm fascinated by that because I feel like that's the magic of Run Disney, is that it generally does help to kind of capture a whole demographic of folks that maybe aren't the most avid into running, but they love Disney. So the idea of getting to run at Disney is pretty magical. So do you feel like with your Run Disney adventure that somewhere along the way you started to really call yourself and feel very much as somebody who identifies themselves as a runner?
Absolutely. So going into it, I was just kind of a fun time runner, no crazy pace, was just in it for the bling, quite honestly. And fast forward, and it's such a great community to get involved with. Everybody's so supportive. The characters that you see on the course, the atmosphere of the day. It sucks getting up at those 2 a.m. wake up calls, but when you show up to that start line, it's just a whole nother feeling. And the crowds and running through the parks is just a whole nother level that takes it and makes it all worth it in the end. And I met so many wonderful people doing it that it's like nothing else.
So where did you decide, okay, I do love this Run Disney experience. It is magical, even despite that 2 a.m. pumpkin turning kind of time of day. But where did you decide I'm going to embark on a perfect season? And maybe if you could explain that to people who may not be familiar with what it is.
Yeah. So I decided last year that I was going to try for a perfect season, which is running every Run Disney race the entire season. And the whole debacle with Dopey registration kind of ruined that for me last year. But I think it was more of a blessing in disguise situation because I just wasn't in the right place in my life to really embark on it, and wasn't training great. Was just kind of doing my own thing, quite honestly. I did go out and do the marathon. And quite honestly, I was exhausted. My body said I'm done. I finished it, but I was recovering for 2 weeks after in pain. So I decided this year I was really going to push myself, work for the perfect season, including Disneyland. So all five race weekends this year, really push myself to get there and do it well and comfortably. And I have Wine and Dine under my belt already. So, and that was an amazing weekend. Now, granted, we had perfect, absolutely wonderful weather conditions that played on our side. So I hope that helps with the other race weekends coming up. But really just wanted to challenge myself and see what I'm capable of, and just keep going from there because the sky's the limit.
Oh, I love it. I do want to talk about your other adventures because I know that you have already started to put into the world some of the things that you're thinking of after you're done with this perfect Run Disney season. But of course, literally one step at a time, and we're tackling one race weekend with as much joy as possible. And of course, being as healthy as possible throughout each weekend. So I am curious, what would you say is a unique aspect of running a Run Disney race weekend besides the 2 a.m. wake-up calls? Or 1 a.m.
The Run Disney race weekend is like no other. Like, you see so many unique costumes and plays on the weekends and the themes that it's something different. But I've never ran a race that had so much support from the runners themselves. There's people that you'll run past somebody and they're like, good job, keep going, even if you're struggling. I've never had that in another race. And I've done the Pittsburgh Half Marathon and we were all miserable running in the rain doing it. And we all did it, but it's just not a community of runners that support you like else. You'll always have the spectators on the side cheering you on, but it's the runners that make it a whole different experience.
It is truly extraordinary. So I'm glad that you are able to kind of encapsulate that very beautifully, which of course I want to know now, did you have a favorite theme that you've done so far, or maybe one that you're looking forward to specifically in this upcoming season?
So I am very excited for upcoming for Springtime Surprise. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. Of Pixar. I just love the whole story. And with the medal reveal the other day, I'm so pumped to get that. So I'm really excited to see what they do and see all the Carls and Ellies and Kevins out there on the race course for those, because they're always just so wonderful when I see them.
It is such a great movie. And I thought the medal was extraordinary. And I'm so surprised that we have, I did a very unofficial official poll, of course, on Instagram stories. And I thought more people would be pumped about the 10K medal because it's got like the little moving part and it's just so cute. And it seems like Tinkerbell stole the Springtime Surprise show, but maybe it was just my polling. So we'll have to throw that out for some extraneous data. In the meantime, I do agree. It looks like an incredible weekend. Now, of course, you are a travel agent with Mystical Dream Travel. So you've got quite a few insider trips, and I kind of consider myself, I wouldn't call myself a Disney pro by any stretch of imagination, but I know my way around the parks just a wee bit. And I feel like I've learned so much from you. So what kind of tips would you have without trying to overwhelm folks? Because I know you have a wealth of knowledge, but what tips would you have for folks that are coming to embark on their, maybe their first Run Disney weekend experience?
Yeah. So obviously on Run Disney race weekends, it's not go and do and see everything kind of weekend. I was a pass holder for a very long time, and I gave that up just last year and started really appreciating the resorts. and here to kind of tell everybody that you can go to Disney and have a wonderful time just hanging out at the resort. I've started experiencing the pools of the resort. Last year, I went in a Disney pool for the first time ever, and that's crazy because I'm always there. But there's so much that they do around the resorts that make them special, between the pools and the water slides, anything like that, that you can truly appreciate. Now, the parks are extra magical, and it's always extra fun when I go there, but definitely just relaxing and taking everything in has become one of my favorite things for Disney. And kind of my best tip when you're going down there is to not just expect to do and see everything, and give yourself some grace when you go.
Do you have that conversation? Is it one of the tougher conversations to have where you're trying to help folks as they plan their weekend to not stuff it in with too many things, considering they still have to go to bed rather early and get up rather early?
Absolutely. So I always try to remind them that you do still have those early mornings. Things can come up in the parks that like you want to really do Tron or something, and you get the virtual queue when you had a dining reservation. So those things are really hard to kind of plan ahead of time for when you have those kind of tight weekends on time. So I like to encourage more, go with the flow. Go as it is. If you want a specific dining reservation or a ride experience, to make sure that's top on your list, but you might have to give something else up just so you're not overwhelming yourself and ruining the experience by running from this spot to that spot just to get it all done.
I think that's so valuable in every race weekend experience. It's just regardless if it's run Disney or if it's somewhere else, if it's a big race weekend experience, I do feel like people do try to pack it in, which leads me to my next question. If people come to you with the question of, should I add in park days before the Run Disney weekend, or should I plan to be there a few days afterward, you know, considering they may have the extra time to be able to do so, would you usually have them gravitate towards one versus the other?
So I tend to like to go to the parks either before like the 10K days, but maybe after the 5K when you get done early, you can go back to the hotel, take a nice nap, and get to the parks and still have a wonderful day. Just making sure that you're getting back to your hotel room early enough to get adequate rest before your 10K day. But I think it's so much more enjoyable to do it after the race weekend, where you have all the fun, you did all of the things, and then you can go to the parks and celebrate. Everybody wears their medals to the parks, so you get tons of congratulations from cast members and even guests. I've had other guests while I was there say congratulations when they see your medal, and you get all the wonderful pictures in the parks with all your accomplishments.
I mean, absolutely. That's the entire purpose of having all these incredible medals, is to go get all of those pictures, and you really truly create and capture those memories. So I'm with you 100% on that. I am curious, though, let's talk a little bit about your training, because it's not all rainbows and sunshines where you get to go to Disney. And although you love Disney and you make magic happen for people as a travel agent, you're still balancing those demands with your own personal travel of having to go back and forth for these weekends. And you're in the middle, if it's okay to tell folks, you're in the middle of house hunting. So you've got a lot going on. How do you balance it all?
So it's definitely been difficult. I've had my days where you just don't want to get up and do it, but you get up and give it your best shot, even if it's breaking up the run in a couple different segments, to just get on your feet, get those kind of challenges under your belt. And I couldn't do it without my support system. My family has been great with this, but especially my boyfriend, Cole. He's kind of pushed me to do my runs, and it's okay that you can't do everything. And it gets when I'm struggling. Like this past week was really difficult between everything going on, house hunting. We put in an offer on a house. So all that kind of stressful stuff that goes on with life, and just kind of realized that I needed that time and gave me a fun weekend to let loose, and did my training run with me and everything. So like just having my support system has really helped me through the training, to remember why I'm doing it. And it can be a lot of fun.
I love how you break up your runs, because I think that it allows you, for a myriad of reasons, not just from a physiological standpoint of being good for your body as well, in terms of having a little bit of a break in between those long runs, in terms of really breaking up the chunks of the long run. But also, I feel like from a psychological standpoint, it's just so demotivating at times to look at this huge chunk of time. Not to mention, again, you're on the go, you're doing a lot of things. It's really hard to dedicate an entire 3-hour block or a 4-hour block per se, and then breaking those up into those chunks seems to be such a really seamless way of you getting it done and helping you stay consistent, because you are truly an incredibly consistent athlete. And I really do feel like that's been the extra little bit of magic that helps you with your training to stay really super strong. Which leads me, of course, to the next question, because you did already touch on the fact that Cole's been a great support for you. Is he a runner?
He is not. I'm trying to get him in that direction. we're starting. He has done a couple races with me locally of little fun runs. He's coming down to watch me for Dopey. So I'm hoping that he sees that Run Disney magic and will do a race with me down there next year.
I absolutely think that, I always think it's the magic is to say yet, because I'm sure he will. He'll dip his toe into it, which will be super exciting. So you've already touched on that too. So he's coming down here. What would you recommend for folks that are coming down with their support crew? And their support crew may want to tackle a lot of different things besides just saying, holding up a sign during a 4 a.m. race day or 5 a.m. race day. What would you suggest for either the people that are coming with us as spectators, for them to be mindful of the actual runners, or for the runners to communicate to their spectators?
Yeah, so we've already set the expectations for the race weekend. So going in, we both know what to expect. Not making a ton of plans for the weekend. We are going to kind of take it easy. There's going to be a lot of pull time. So I really think just communicating what you need from them out of the race weekend, because you are the one getting up at the 2 a.m. wake up calls and going out and running the half marathon, the marathon, whatever distance, to just make sure they understand and respect your boundaries. So they know what you're doing and what you need to get through that weekend.
I think that is absolutely crucial. So I love the fact that you've already mentioned right out of the gate to start with an open communication plan, which is going to be my next question with you regarding your travel services. When you're working with folks that are looking at planning their magical trip to Disney, and again, I think you may be the only Run Disney specialist with your agency. And I've not personally heard of a lot of Run Disney travel agents. So what do you feel is the best communication you could have with your folks, or what do you need to hear from them to be able to ensure that you're able to plan the most magical weekend for them?
Absolutely. So I always ask them, what's important to you on that race weekend? If it's going to the parks, that's great. And what parks do you want to go to try to get the best resort option within their budget? But getting them the closest that they can be to that resort, so they're not standing in line waiting for a bus for hours on end at some of their resorts when they don't need to be. If they're already staying at a moderate resort and their primary park they want to go to is Epcot, I'm going to probably suggest like a Caribbean beach before I recommend Coronado, because of where it's located. You can pop on a Skyliner. You don't got to wait in lines. It's extra added time that you don't need on your feet. So I always ask them right off the bat, within their budget, what do you need to do that weekend? What's your priority? And start building based off of that and giving them the different suggestions on where I think is best to stay. And for those matters of what's important to them.
Do you feel like your recommendations may vary according to if someone's coming for specifically a Run Disney weekend versus a non-Run Disney weekend?
Absolutely. Okay. I think there's different opportunities, different resorts. It really depends what that family's looking for. There's some resorts that obviously are known for being a little louder than other resorts. So if they're coming for a nice, quiet, peaceful weekend, I might not suggest a contemporary that has a bunch of people coming in and out of it throughout the week, and might want to pick one of those more tucked back resorts that are a little farther away from the action.
I'm so glad that you named names, because I wasn't sure if this was going to be a we don't talk about Bruno situation where we couldn't actually name the specific resort that may be a little bit more lively, shall we say, for non-Run Disney weekend folks. So if you had to, for a Run Disney weekend, and again, you're the magical guest that you're making magic happen for, what would you say would be your number one priority for a resort?
So my biggest one is always the quietest one. Obviously, you can never tell everybody to be as quiet as possible. But personally, I have found that All-Star do get more packed with their families. So you might have a lot more little ones running up and down the hallways, making noise late at night. So I try to avoid those kind of resorts that I know are more likely to be louder, just because you have those early nights. And the other families that aren't doing Run Disney are still there. The parks don't shut down for us, so you have to kind of keep that in mind and give them some leeway as well, because they are on vacation, but trying to avoid that as much as possible. So my personal favorite resort to stay at is Pop Century for race weekends. I just love having the Skyliner. I love the atmosphere that's there. It's kind of my go-to resort. Now, I love the other resorts. I'm staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, Jumbo House for Princess, which will be a nice kind of change of pace to hang out there. But you're in and out of the resort so much on race weekends that I just love Pop.
See, I love this, and it shows that you are both a huge Disney fan. You know so much about the actual travel industry and coming to Disney specifically, but also all of the little things that I think that maybe we wouldn't think about, like time on your feet and the transportation, because the logistics can be pretty overwhelming. So for someone who maybe is saying, you know, I'm so overwhelmed with all the logistics, how do you help them relax?
So I make sure they have all of their questions answered. I recently just had a first-time family go to Walt Disney World, and of course had a ton of questions of how do I do this? What does this mean? And really just making sure they had all of the information they could possibly want and need about anything they had a question on. We do have a special guide that we send out to families that has some different information in there. So park recommendations, things to do that we suggest, different ride requirements. So we give everybody as many tools as we possibly can so they have a great experience. And especially while they're down there, I'm always available for my clients. If I'm on vacation myself, we always have a backup agent that can help assist if something would ever happen or go wrong, or you have a question while you're there. We're always willing to get those answers for you.
I love the fact that you really do spend time getting to know what makes somebody's heart sing, and then you make it magical based off of what would work best for them. But I am super curious, what are your must-do activities or experiences when you come to, I'm going to say Walt Disney World, because I know Disneyland's a whole other bag of chips for sure. But for Walt Disney World, what are some of the must-do activities or experiences that you like to do and you think that other runners should potentially experience?
So personally, every time I go to Walt Disney World, I have to get the popcorn. There is something about that popcorn that is just out of this world. So I always have to get popcorn. And I always go for a ride on the Skyliner. Whether it's I need to go to Boardwalk for a lunch meetup, I'm popping over to Pop Century, getting on the Skyliner and going on over. So those are two of my absolute favorite things outside of the parks to do. And inside the park, I would always pick Magic Kingdom and hop on the People Mover and go for a nice little stroll around Magic Kingdom. It's just the most relaxing thing ever. So that's definitely my must do for a park.
I am with you as well. I love Magic Kingdom. I know it can be a teensy bit of a hassle sometimes to get in and out of it, but still my absolute favorite. I think the People Mover, well, we know it has a huge fan club of people who absolutely adore the People Mover. And such a great one to do on race weekend too, since it gets you off your feet for a little bit. But I am also curious, do you have a favorite Disney character?
Oh, this is a hard one.
It's ridiculously hard, girl. We know.
It's like an impossible question. Because we all love Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
I think the character that kind of most speaks with me would have to be Mary Poppins. I watched that movie over and over and over as a little kid, and just the story and the whole message that comes from the movie in general has always stuck with me. So, and everything is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
And I know you can spell it, so I'm not going to even ask. What did you think about the redo of it?
I thought it was absolutely wonderful. It was definitely a nice little take on it.
Yeah, I mean, Julie Andrews will always have our heart, but I still feel like the redo was absolutely extraordinary too. So yeah. Ashley, we heard you say that popcorn is a must. Is there a specific meal or reservation, like restaurant reservation, that you would really highly recommend to folks to snag when they're coming to Walt Disney World?
So I absolutely love breakfast at Trattoria down at Boardwalk. I love the breakfast pizza. It's so wonderful to do. I always go there and get the breakfast pizza and the mimosa. It's a very quiet atmosphere, so I just love it.
I love this. All right, my friend, you have been a wealth of knowledge, but I know that we basically just skimmed the surface of all of the incredible information that you have. So I want to thank you so much for joining us, but I'm going to ask folks to definitely use all of the links in episode notes to find you. Of course, you guys can find her on Facebook and Instagram at Ashley_MysticalDreamTravel. Also check out her TikTok, and you're going to want to stay in touch with Ashley, not just to wish her a wonderful, perfect Run Disney season, but also because she has so many tips available for you and truly can make the trip down to Walt Disney World and Disneyland absolutely magical for your Run Disney weekend. So thank you, Ashley.
Thank you for having me.
I loved hearing from Ashley how we should build in some resort time. And I've got to say, as a local, those resorts are one of my favorite things to check out. So thank you again to Ashley with Mystical Dream Travel. Next up, my friends, the magic of Run Disney is all of the incredible characters and costumes of your fellow runners. So next up, we're going to dive into the world of Run Disney costuming with experts who know how to blend running performance with Disney flair. And, well, they're going to teach us all about how to level up our game. So whether you're aiming for comfort or character, they've got tips you're not going to want to miss. Hello, welcome to the brunch table. Not one, but two fabulous fun and fly guys. Well, not just fly, lounge fly, but we're going to explain soon. For now, thank you for joining us again, Aaron Newell of Newell Runnings.
Thank you for having me. Again.
Of course. Welcome back, friend. We are so excited to have you back. And this time you brought a friend. So welcome, Fred Fazoli. He also known as King Charming Fred. And I have to say, friends, we're excited to have you both here to impart some of your wisdom and knowledge.
Thank you for having me. I was very jealous of Aaron. And I said, you're doing this without me. So I'm happy to be invited.
Oh, well, you guys are truly fabulous, and you are such a highlight of the Run Disney experiences, and I definitely want to get into all that. But before I get too far into it, because you guys are both experts on the parks, both here at Walt Disney and Disneyland, now with Run Disney bringing those back to Disneyland, but costuming and, of course, making the race weekends as fun as possible. For our listeners who may not be familiar, can you explain more about what you think that Run Disney is so unique? Aaron, I'm going to go ahead and start with you since you've been here before. Tell us what you think Run Disney is unique. What makes it unique?
I think compared to like any other races, like, you know, I've done a whole bunch of non-Run Disney races. Compared to those, there's just a big sense of community. I feel like everyone is there to just, you know, support each other and, you know, get to dress up while running, while being uncomfortable. It's great.
Yeah, we're all just uncomfortable. A little hot and sweaty. Well, Fred, how about you? I feel like for the Wine and Dine weekend, you went larger than life with your costuming, and it was definitely very, very over the top. So was it uncomfortable?
It was not uncomfortable. It actually, even though it looked pretty ornate, it was just kind of a tube dress. So it was very comfortable to run in. And yeah, I saw you with my family. The big thing for me for doing the races is just being with my family, with my friends. Aaron is now my family, so him and I get so excited beforehand. And really along the way, the training is huge. As we all know, it doesn't just happen overnight. So supporting each other in the training is really helpful as well.
Now, how did you two come to tackle Run Disney? Did you know each other before, or did you meet through Run Disney? And I'm going to ask you, Fred.
So Aaron and I have known each other, I think, since about 2017. We actually became friends through Disney Geeks. He is a DVC member, and I wanted to know everything about it. So I would text him and ask him a bunch of questions. And then we kind of, you know, people find their family, their chosen family, and we became friends. And he, thanks to him, is who got me into running. I've never run before in my life, so it was definitely him that got me into running and then into Run Disney all simultaneously.
Wow. Aaron, do you feel like you're kind of at this point almost recruiting for the Run Disney cult officially?
No. I mean, I wasn't even a fan of running either. I only started running because of my cousin. She tried to convince me to just do a race and kept on asking me when the Disneyland races were happening back from early on to even 2014, when are you going to run a race? I'm like, no. When are you going to run a race, Aaron? No, I will not. Then finally I gave in. I was like, okay, fine. I'll do this half marathon at Disneyland, the Star Wars light side. And then that caused the Run Disney bug.
It's okay. We can speak amongst friends here. It's the gateway drug to the hard stuff, like doing the perfect Run Disney seasons. I think you guys have tackled or are tackling. So definitely, I'd love to hear more about what you guys can say is maybe a shared Run Disney experience that you feel like sticks out in your head. And I'm going to go ahead and direct that to you, Aaron.
I would say, my friend circle has grown substantially I was an auxiliary person in Run Disney, just, you know, showing up and just, you know, running, collecting my medals. And then I think finally with another year, past year and a half, started actually making friends. Started open, you know, being more social, and I'm like, wow, there's so many people, I want to see at every race now. It's just they're not just, you know, I'm not just fangirling anymore, these are my peers now. So it's a lot of fun.
When I met Aaron, he was anti matching outfits, and he was also anti kind of being social and chatting people. And then, of course, now we're always in matching outfits, matching lounge flies, and we're the belle of the ball. We want to go see everybody and hug everybody. And so it's definitely been fun.
Fred, it's so great to have you here, because I don't think any of us would have ever have maybe even put Aaron and antisocial even in the same hemisphere. I just can't see that. Aaron, you feel like you're so outgoing at all the Run Disney weekends. So is that your alter ego for Run Disney?
Yeah, I am an introvert at home, but an extrovert at Run Disney.
But Fred, you have, let's just say, costuming is not something new for you. It's not the Run Disney that brought it out. You've had quite a bit of experience with costumes before, correct?
I have. I worked for Disney for 15 years. I was actually in and out of costume. I was friends with different princes and friends with different characters. I've worked all over the world, Disney Cruise Line. So I, on the other hand, belong on the stage and don't have any social anxiety. So again, Aaron and I make a good pair. I help him through. And then he helps me be quiet.
Well, that's why I majored in theater, so I could be more outgoing. So, you know.
Really? I mean, honestly, Erin, I feel like you come across as so outgoing that that's such a surprise. But I do think that is part of what makes it magical to be at the Run Disney World, is that it does let you, regardless if you're auxiliary, maybe if you're more of just a walk on to the stage, or you're the star of the show, you feel like the star of the show, because it really is about embracing that community and making it your own. So I'm curious from both of you, if you feel that maybe the costumes that you had, especially with, I mean, I think all of us now know you guys as the Loungefly guys, do you feel like that's what helped you take that center stage and really start making these great friend circles? I'm going to ask you, Fred.
I think so, because game recognizes game, right? So a lot of people that really spend time with their costuming, they want to see others enjoying it too. And so people have come up to us and just given us a silent nod or said, you know, thank you for dressing up. And then Loungefly, of course, we all know a lot of people love Loungefly. The addicts have come out of the closet. They tap us on the shoulder and say, guess what? I just bought my 85th Loungefly, but my husband doesn't know. And so it's another way to connect through Disney and through Loungefly. So we've really loved that. That's been huge for us.
Who has the bigger Loungefly collection?
Clearly, Fred.
That one stays a lot over here. Yeah, I have a teens bit of a problem, but Erin is starting to catch up.
Yeah, actually, yeah, Fred's convinced me. Yeah. Now I have like a.
Yeah, true story is for the holidays, we both loved the same bag. And so I said, Erin, let's do this. Let's not get each other gifts this year. Let's just buy each other this Loungefly bag. And he's like, okay, got it. Good idea.
This is the kind of best friend gift that we all need in our lives. But let's pull it back for just a mere moment if we can. And maybe for folks who are new to Run Disney or Disney in general and are thinking, what is this Loungefly they're speaking of? Can you guys give us a little bit more information as to what it is? Fred, I'm going to go ahead and ask you.
Loungefly is an amazing company. They work with a lot of different brands and licenses, but they're really big with Disney. And when you're walking around the parks, you'll see people normally wear ears and then a spirit jersey or some sort of a their favorite, you know, character on a shirt. And then they'll normally wear a Loungefly. And up until about 2 years ago, I thought Loungeflies were only for girls, to be honest. And I would see them and think, gosh, I really want to wear one. But I thought it was only for girls. And then I said, you know what? I like them and I want to wear them. And ever since then, I've seen a lot of all different types of people wear them. Guys, and my parents wear them now. My 75-year-old mother has a couple. So it's just a great way to spend an afternoon with your favorite character, right? On your back. So that's why I really love Loungefly.
And now they have dogs.
And I think they just...
Now they make it for dogs.
I know. I think I just saw that. Yes. I mean, they're coming for your household, my friends. If you haven't yet gotten a Loungefly, you're going to get one sooner or later. Do you guys have a favorite in your collection?
Mine would be the one... It's the 100-year anniversary Mickey one. It's like this chromatic red and silver Mickey bag, which was the inspiration for one of my springtime surprise running costumes. So that would be mine.
Yeah. Mine would be the Princess Sequin series that Erin and I first did for Princess last year, just because they're bright, they're a simple color, and Erin and I love our princesses, so it's a fun way to recognize them, give a nod to them.
So of all the incredible costumes you guys have done, do you have a favorite of those? Because clearly you have taken the inspiration from some of your favorite bags, so does that mean that translates into your favorite costume as well? I'm going to ask Erin to let us know about that.
I would say, so I do love my Loungefly costumes, but I like to be creative too. I like to be, you know, like, you know, make new costumes and just try new things out. But like my favorite one, yeah, I mean, the princess ones were like, I was so happy with the way they came out. I remember just like every day, like, Fred, I think I found the right fabric. Oh my God, Fred, I found the perfect sequence. Oh my God, Fred, I needed to do this. Like every day, just making it was really inspiring. It was just so, you know, those were amazing costumes.
I want to talk a little bit more about costumes because I think, again, when I think of Run Disney and what makes it so special is the fact that people do embrace costuming. But as you guys have already tackled or started to allude, sometimes costuming can create its life of its own in terms of posing challenges, shall we say, for the course. So what are some of the suggestions that you guys would have for people that are just ready to kind of dabble into costuming? Because I think a lot of people start with Disney bounding.
Yeah, Disney bounding. I didn't even know that there was a name for it until a couple years ago. Same with Disney adults. That's a new thing, a new term that we're hearing a lot. I am a Disney adult. I'm Fred Faisalotti, and I'm a Disney adult. But Disney bounding is where, so it actually comes from the rule that at 13 years old, you can no longer wear a costume to Disneyland. But guess what? Adults were like, wait a second, I kind of want to wear a costume. I love these characters. So Disney bounding came about where you're giving slight nods to a character, whether it be just a simple color palette, whether it be the lounge fly, whether it be the ears. So it's a way for us to kind of skirt those rules that Disney has put for us, but to still enjoy a day with our favorite Disney character.
And I think for friends that are maybe translating it more into like Run Disney, a lot of folks start off with Disney bounding in terms of those inspired outfits, I shall say. And there's a lot of companies now that kind of have made it their brand or for you to be able to access just their clothing where it's kind of pre-made for you. But you guys definitely took Disney bounding and kind of just decided that that was something that you could make much more extraordinary with your own tackle. So Aaron, I feel like the costuming and putting these really elaborate costumes is really up your alley. So what kind of suggestions would you have for folks that are thinking of taking, going big or going home?
My very first, you know, Run Disney's, I wasn't dressing up as anything. I think the very first race that I decided to like, okay, maybe we'll dress up kind of like the character was the 2019 princess. I ran it with my friend Kayla, and, you know, we went to like the expo, and then, you know, I was like, oh, you know, this will match this blue, you know, skirt will match my blue tank top, and I can be Elsa, you know, you know, right. So, you know, like, yeah. I dipped my toe in, and then, like, you know, I think, you know, I said this in, like, a previous podcast with you, you know, just, I saw, like, someone wearing this gorgeous, you know, costume, handmade costume that they made. It was in Copley Couture. And I was inspired, and so, like, that's when I started making costumes. I think the most, for one, the first rule that you should consider when wearing a costume while doing Run Disney is being comfortable in it. You know, like, you're going to be wearing that for a 5K, 10K, a half marathon, a full marathon. Like, yep. You want to be as comfortable as you can in it, you know, and that's like the first priority, especially when, like, you know, start designing new costumes. Second one, Fred, you want to take this one?
Yeah, second one would be, and Aaron and I go back and forth about this when we're deciding on what costume to do, is does it read? So you're only going to be running past people for a split second, and you want to make sure that whatever costume you've decided on that you're proud of, that people will understand it. Because sometimes the deep dives are actually really fun because you get those five people in the audience that are like, oh my gosh, I know what he is. But you also have to have it, you know, read to what your plan was, your intent.
I immediately am thinking, absolutely, I could see that, where it is both fun to be kind of an insider, but you've spent months maybe on these costumes for it to only be five people that recognize. But you might also strike out a lot of conversations with people coming up to you and saying, what exactly are you wearing? So I think it could be a plus either way. Now, you've already alluded to, Aaron, with one of the incredible costumers in Run Disney World is Copley Couture. And I think if everybody has likely seen her, should check her out on Instagram because, again, incredible costumes. But what other costumes have you guys seen that you think are unique or that you've enjoyed or other costumers that have that kind of inspire you both?
Oh gosh. Well, we wouldn't be very good friends if we shout out our friends Tara and Kristen, who are running with makeup and minimally terrific. They go for comedy, they go for a lot of duo stuff and a lot of group things. P.S. So fun to run Disney Grace in a group costume. But we do love them. And then, Aaron, what are your favorites?
I mean, a lot of people have been stepping up their game. You know, we talk about this game recognizes game. And now there's just like so many people that are just stepping up their game. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I should have done that. I should have thought of that. I'm like, so many people have just are exceeding expectations. I would say, yeah,
Mike Verselli and his wife, Monica.
Mike and Mindy. Mindy. And, you know, they, I mean, Mindy always has like fantastic costumes. You know, she was featured as, you know, like she was Defeaty for one of the races and they used her image running on Christmas Cheer and her husband, Tasha and her husband, you know, they dressed up as Encanto last year and then they were, you know, the face of Wine and Dine this year. My friend Tony, you know, he at first, you know, started like letting his daughter choose the costumes. And so like he you know, like would base his costumes based on what Natalie, his daughter, would, you know, would choose. And, you know, it's, he makes some great costumes. He was like Figment skunk Figment this year.
Oh gosh. I don't know if I think I must have missed it, but okay.
And yeah, you know, that's just everyone stepping up their game and I love it. now we got to step up even more.
Oh goodness. I don't even know what that means. Are you guys going to have like, is it going to be like a Tron ride? Are you guys actually thinking of electronics involved in some of these costumes? Well, you don't have to give away all your details. I'd love to know though, now with Run Disney bringing back races to Disneyland, finally, and Disneyland, I feel like is, would you guys consider it both your home park versus Walt Disney World?
I would, because it's where mine.
The funny thing is I find myself, yeah, I mean, we are on the West Coast, but I found myself going to like Disney World more often, but I do consider it my home park.
So what are you guys most excited about with Disneyland coming back though?
Gosh, everything. To be able to run. A lot of people love Disneyland. It's my home park because that's where my childhood memories are. So of course, that's why we go to Disney, to connect with those. And I think a lot of people are going to connect with the fact that Walt walked in that park, and that was really where his artwork and his touches. So people, I think we all get really emotional when we run Disney races if we're a Disney fan. And I think a lot of tears will be shed running down Main Street at Disneyland for sure. Excited to see that.
Yeah. I mean, I know I definitely shed a tear or two. I still get emotional going to Magic Kingdom here at Walt Disney World. So I can't even imagine at Disneyland. What about you, Aaron? What are you most excited about with Disneyland?
I think with Disneyland, it's just going to bring a whole new, well, bring back a whole, you know, whole bunch of people that haven't done Run Disney, you know, because, you know, flying from the West Coast to East Coast is not, you know, economical, if you're, especially if you're doing like a perfect season. And, you know, like a lot of people would love to do a Run Disney race, but they'll still have the means to go all the way to Florida. So bringing it back to Disneyland, yeah, it's going to bring, you know, it's going to bring some of the people back. You know, some people that have, you know, that haven't run a race since 2017. I know my cousins, they're the ones that got me into Run Disney. They haven't been able to do a Run Disney race. And, you know, Disneyland is back now. And now, you know, they weren't able to get into, you know, the one in January. But we all want to do the Halloween one in September. So that's going to be exciting just to, you know, for my family just to be able to do Run Disney again and not travel far, just in a 1 hour flight from here.
Now, I'm wondering from a costuming standpoint, since you don't have to deal with, I would assume, shipping or trying to check your luggage for your costume, does that mean that you guys are planning on a more extravagant costume for Disneyland?
Christine, how dare you ask that? We're not supposed to give away our secrets, but you are correct. Shorter distance means larger costumes. Aaron and I are working on some really big ones for the finale because it will be, we're both doing Dopey to Dumbo, which is crazy. And we have a finale costume for the half marathon at Disneyland, both of us that we're working on. So,
oh my goodness. Now, I think that if folks decide to follow you guys on Instagram, which of course they will, do you guys give any kind of behind the scenes? I feel like you kind of hint at some of the fun stuff coming up.
I definitely do. Like some stuff, like the Loungefly stuff, I want to keep up under wraps, you know, as much as I can. But like, I know, like, my current costumes, I'm, like, so excited to post about. I'm like, just so you know, I'm like, this looks cute. I think I did great. I think I did great in making this. I'm going to post it right now.
I get excited about stuff like that too, and I don't want to hold back. So of course, we're going to have an episode notes where people can follow you, but it's at Newell Runnings for Erin, at King Charming Fred for Fred here. And so I feel like there's a little bit of hints going on, friends. So I think that if you really do want to find out what this finale costume is going to be, and you can't make it to Disneyland because it's of course sold out already, you definitely want to check out their pages there. Now, before I let you guys go, I have 1,000 questions, and I could probably keep you guys on forever, because truly you guys are both a wealth of knowledge on so many aspects of Run Disney, costuming, Club Run Disney, and of course the parks itself. But I am curious if you guys want to share a few more of your wisdom over the years that you have gleaned on maybe some challenges that people should take into consideration when tackling Run Disney if they're first timers. Maybe they've done some traveling, or this is just their first experience. Any kind of wisdom that you want to share, Fred?
Yeah, just that you sound so silly, but you can do it. I, like I said, have never run before in my life. I came to watch Erin in a race, and I saw people run by me that were all shapes and sizes and abilities. And I literally had a moment where I was like, I can do this. I've never been a team sports person. I don't know how to even watch sports, but I all of a sudden became an athlete because I was doing it on my own. And I was really getting to hit my own goals. So don't be scared to do it. It is more fun than a whole jar of pickles. And for me, that's a lot of fun because I love pickles.
Yeah, me so too.
I would very much encourage. And then you meet friends. I mean, Erin and I will be friends for life because we just have shared so many experiences together. And that's really what it's all about.
Oh, I love that. Erin, how about you? What kind of advice would you give to somebody who's embarking on their first Run Disney experience?
Make sure that whatever you're wearing, whether it's, you know, regular running attire or if it's this elaborate costume, make sure that the costume is able to withstand either, you know, running, like whatever pace that you're running. Because sometimes, you know, like I will say, and I tell you an example, like when I was running in, the springtime. Well, no, during this race, so Wine and Dine, my Loungefly costume, I was running with a lot of fast people. I was, when I stress test my costume, I was, you know, just a light jog, very slow. And then I ran with these fast people for like the first 6 miles. And then, bam, so it fell apart. But I was able to just hold it together for the other, 7 miles. So yeah, make sure your costume is ready for the type of running that you're planning to do.
So I'm hearing either test out your costume fully for all conditions and also have clean underwear on is what I'm hearing.
Speaking of underwear, also make sure that your costumes, you can go to the bathroom in too.
Yeah, easily. Erin, you're not going to leave us, end us with the undergarments, are you? Which is
I mean, that's a very practical advice. We must know how to use the porta potty in our costume.
That'll be the theme of our next one.
Before we leave and on the topic of porta potties, let's flip it back for a little bit. What's a must-do activity that you guys think that people should plan for a Run Disney specific weekend?
Want to say that the metal photos, you've seen them all over, and they are so important because they're just something you cherish for life. So make sure you you plan on where you're going to take those and what's the best background and all of that. What were you pointing to, Erin?
Before Erin, you pop in, I want to know, Fred, where is your favorite location to take those metal photos?
Oh, Erin and I did the Italian Pavilion at Epcot and World Showcase. And it honestly, it looked like we had run the Rome Marathon and we were just taking our medal photos afterwards. It was great, wasn't it, Erin?
Yeah, definitely capture your moment. If that's something that you want with your medals, you get, 30 minutes, right? With a photo pass, Disney photo pass. Photographer, and you get to choose your location depending on your park, and then you just you take photos like a model.
Ooh, living like the real Instagram life kind of a thing. I dig it. Okay, that's super awesome. So is that your go-to experience that you would recommend for a Run Disney person, for somebody coming for Run Disney weekend?
Me? My recommendation is, especially for those doing the marathon, if you are at a good pace, ride the rides. ride the rides, you know, like the first time I did Run Disney, did the Dopey, I was solely focused on not dying, and I just ignored the rides. But you know, this last year I was able to, you know, go at a pace that was very comfortable and, you know, not slow, and, you know, was able to do, like, you know, Expedition Everest. They let you in through the single rider line, and if you're running, they just, you know, have like the first two carts, and then they just pack you all in real quick, ride the ride, and you're done. And you know, that's like for any ride that's on the course during the marathon course, and if the park's open. So definitely do that.
I want to be you someday, Erin, because I'm not fast enough to ride the rides. I'm scared of the balloon ladies. But one day, that's my goal, is to be fast enough so I can ride the teacups.
See, this is what makes me like love Run Disney, is that our goal isn't necessarily, for most of us, isn't like Boston qualifying or even really big PRs. It's mostly about just getting fast enough to either get a better corral so that we can ride more rides or take more pictures with characters. So we learned so much from you guys. Mainly what I'm hearing is clean undies because my costume may fall apart. Have a lot of fun. Make tons of memories and then get a photo pass photographer to capture those memories afterwards. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. I'm sure there's more.
But I want to thank you both so much. Again, friends, check out episode notes. You want to follow both of these fabulous Fly Guys, because they definitely have some really fun stuff coming on up that you want to be in the loop for. So thank you guys. Friends, I have to tell you, I have a little bit of a confession to make. I fancied myself once upon a time a fabulous costume runner until I met the Loungefly guys. I also don't actually own a Loungefly, so I feel like I need to add that into my to-do list. But friends, we are excited to continue this conversation, bring in these incredible guests, and for our brave souls that are out there getting ready to tackle the Dopey Challenge, or you're dreaming about it, we are bringing back our seasoned Dopey runner who has been running it since its very inception, ready to share all of her experiences, her advice from the first mile to how to schedule everything in between, all the way to the finish line. Can't wait to chit chat with our perfectly Dopey friend.
All right, everybody, get ready to get inspired, get energized, as we welcome back to the brunch table the queen of endurance, the epitome of Dopey dedication, Trisha Carbone, also known as Perfectly Dopey in every sense of the word. She's not just any marathon runner, even though just and marathon, I feel like, doesn't really go in the same sentence, but she is a relentless adventurer who's turned Walt Disney World Marathon Dopey Challenge into basically her own personal playground. So welcome back, Trisha. We are so excited to have you.
Thanks, me too. It's always exciting to be here. And then, especially this time of the year, getting ready for Dopey. I'm excited to talk about it.
Did you ever think that you would be so like in tune with one of the most lovable seven dwarfs that there is?
I never expected that. I thought probably maybe I'd be like sleepy or happy, but or sneezy.
I mean, after the 4 days.
Yeah. You do get a mix of all of them.
Yeah, the only one that's missing is hungry.
He's the eighth one we don't talk about. Well,
he's definitely a really important one. And one we want to talk about, though, as we go into this final week before folks endeavor on their official Perfectly Dopey or their own first Dopey challenge. So, Trisha, right out of the gate, for folks that maybe possibly are not 100% as to what is this Dopey challenge we speak of, can you give us a little bit of insight as to what it is?
So it started with the first year in 2014. Prior to that, Run Disney had the marathon, and then they added the Goofy challenge, which was doing the half marathon on Saturday and then the marathon on Sunday. And then 2014, they added the Dopey Challenge, which included the 5K Thursday, the 10K Friday, and then the half and the full Saturday, Sunday. So 4 days of running, 48.6 miles total, and not much sleep, as we're giving an ode to Sleepy there.
Yeah, with a whole lot of medals to go with it. But this has become like a bucket list for a lot of folks.
Yeah, I think so, because you get the 6 medals and 6 shirts with that as well. And you get the Mickey ears.
6 days of soreness after. It's like, is this a 12 days equivalent of Disney, I feel like? Like, you get 6, 6, and you get a lot of soreness after. But I love how you first start off with the swag, like slow playing it, like, yeah, it's 48 and change miles, but you get 6 shiny medals. Like, don't wait, there's more.
So you are officially perfectly dopey, because since you tackled the initial inaugural year in 2014, you have gone off. And last year when we had you on, it was your 10th year. And now you've decided you're just going to continue to extend this until indefinite time, until you decide that you're not going to any longer. But you'll be going on your 11th year of the Dopey Challenge, correct?
That's correct. And I think it's a little bit easier for me because during these past 11 years, I've lived in Orlando. So it hasn't been as much of a cost. Like, yes, the signing up for the races is a cost, but I haven't had the expense of a hotel, and I could manage it a little bit more, just depending on how much I wanted to buy the expo or not.
Right.
But
is that the Dumbo right in the room, that we live in Orlando, so you don't have to pay the hotel fee, which that in itself is a marathon of epic proportions, especially coming from me, who does not like making plans that far in advance. You definitely need to, which we'll get into all of the actual prep of Dopey, but focusing first and foremost, forgetting the swag, forgetting all the sparkle, that 48.6 miles. What does that training look like for you, especially since you are very versed in covering that type of distance?
I think in the early years, it was difficult. You know, I started following the Galloway plan that was written and recommended on the Run Disney website. And I did that for a few years. I think I did that through 2018, 17 or 18. And then I switched to the Hal Higdon plan because I thought that suited me a little bit better. But in reality, it's a lot of miles. And I think the key point is to do back-to-back days of running and just force yourself, however difficult it is, to say, I ran yesterday, I need to get up and run again today. And, you know, a lot of the plans do start off slow with maybe 2 days in a row and then 3 days in a row. And they'll have what people call the simulation weeks, where you do actually run like 4 days in a row. And especially as a new runner, that can be a lot to put your body through.
So I'm glad that you mentioned that. You mentioned that it's evolved and you've utilized what was available to you. And clearly you mentioned in the first time, and we'll definitely link that as well, first time we chatted with you, there really wasn't anything like that in terms of training specifically for Dopey at the time when you tackled it. So your training has evolved. What would you say that outside of running and the simulation weeks, you would suggest to somebody who is newly considering this as to what they should consider adding in as part of their training as well?
I think outside of running, one of the biggest challenges, if you're, you know, whatever else you have going on in your life, I think one of the biggest challenges with running that many days is just organization. So I would really recommend things like meal prep, looking at fueling for your runs and hydration, a lot of practice with what you're going to wear during the runs, because anything can happen in Florida, hot, cold, rain, and you just want to be familiar with the types of clothes that you're wearing, like all that stuff. But I think for me, like, you know, one of the things that helps the most having a busy life is definitely meal prep and planning, because running that many miles, you're going to be hungry all the time.
Again, that eighth dwarf that we definitely have to plan for, I guess. Coach Shelby, I feel like the eighth dwarf, hungry, maybe like Bruno. We don't talk about it very much, but we all know he's there.
Poor Bruno. Poor Bruno. Every time poor Bruno is brought up, like, I feel like he just needs his own standing race. Dopey got one. Why not Bruno?
Oh, girl. Now we're talking about, like, that would be the best race ever. But besides that, what's going to be the best race right here and now is this Dopey Challenge. So in this time of 11 years, you nailed it, Trisha. Our Florida weather is incredibly, incredibly unpredictable, even within a span of 24 hours. So you had to have potentially encountered some of the weirdness that happens over that time frame. Can you give us ideas as to what people who are going into this weekend might potentially consider they should have on hand, or they should double check that they pack it before they leave?
I like to plan outfits that are layers, so you can always add things on or take things away. So even if it's not a costume, like if I'm going to wear what I'm most comfortable in is like a tank top for running, but then I'll also bring sleeves. And if I'm going to have shorts, will I need a compression sock to go with it? But then maybe also a lower sock in case it's too hot. So I try to plan an outfit that has multiple possibilities, and then I can add on more. Like, you can always add more layers, but a lot of people don't think about the fact that Florida, especially the past few years, has just been so hot in January, and it's more about taking off the layers. I also think
it's like burlesque. Yeah. It literally is like burlesque Disney. Like, be prepared to be super conservative, but then realize at a moment's notice you're gonna have to literally drop it, like it's probably really freaking hot.
But please don't take it down to pasties, because you will be escorted off by Run Disney police.
Christine knows this by experience. Don't let her fool you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you nailed it on the, we've talked about the hungry dwarf and meal prepping and meal planning. For folks that are going into this final week, what are suggestions that you have about what should they be considering nutrition-wise, hydration-wise, or even adding in sleep to this week where they're already a little anxious and maybe not sleeping well?
Yeah, definitely sleep is important. And I think just with the early wake-ups, so many days in a row, you're not going to get a lot of sleep. But if I've tried different strategies, like progressively getting up earlier and earlier as it leads into that week, mm-hmm. and it does help a little bit, because then you're tired earlier and you can get to bed. For me, I think the hardest day is Wednesday with the expo, and then getting home, still trying to have a dinner and then get to bed when you may not be as exhausted because you haven't had like a 2 a.m. wake up yet. But same thing with if you are local, you have that advantage where you can prep a lot of food for that whole week, because there's just not a lot of time. Like, even seeing people's posts in different Run Disney groups, I was shocked to see one of the threads where, like, I don't know, 20 people posted, yeah, I go to work, because I thought I was the only one doing that. But a lot of people do, and you're going to have to run home, shower, have food ready, eat it, and then get to work. So planning and prepping is really the key.
Well, and I would say the same for people coming in too. As much as people come, because a lot of people do use this as a vacation, you really do have to have a plan in advance. Like, okay, are we going to have a reservation here? Are these going to be the days that we're going to have these quicker dinners? Maybe go to the local supermarket, grab food to bring back to your hotel room or your rental or what have you, and maybe not take my approach and be all willy-nilly. So that's a good point for both ends of the spectrum.
I like both of these conversations, both Patricia and Shelby, because now what you guys are making me think of, what would you suggest, Trisha, of the folks that are coming to town with family for a vacation in terms of the discussion they may want to have about the boundaries of what they will need? Because I think that there maybe is a little bit of an expectation of wanting to still explore everything and fit it all in during the day. Of course, you're at the theme park, you're at the happiest world on, or happiest place on earth. So how do you have a conversation? Have you heard of how people should have those conversations about, like, look, I'm going to be going to bed at 6 o'clock every evening. I know that doesn't sound fun, but it's what I'm intending to do while I'm here.
I haven't had to have it myself, so I can't say how difficult it may be if you do have a significant other and children who are expecting that vacation. But I think, you know, you just have to be clear with them of what the timeline is. Like, you're waking up at 2 a.m. and you're going to be doing this race at least like Thursday, Friday. You may be back at the room by like 7 a.m., but then you're going to be hungry and you have to eat and fuel for the next days. So do they want to have breakfast with you? Are you going to go to the park maybe just for the morning or a little bit in the afternoon? That is, it's definitely a challenge with the parks because you don't want to be on your feet that much extra during these days. Like, you need to be resting. Like, are people going to do it? Of course. Like, that's why they signed up to come and have a Disney vacation. We're not going to say, like, don't do it, but just be realistic, like you said, with the boundaries. Yeah, you might need a 4:30, 5 o'clock dinner, and then you're going back to the room while they go to the fireworks or something.
So maybe get ready to have a little bit of FOMO and to also have that clear communication and that plan before you get here so that it could avoid added stress of trying to do it all. But I am curious, Trisha, for folks that are here and they're staying at the resorts, we've heard a lot, like you've mentioned, in the Rent Disney groups, and we know that we would highly suggest that people plan for a non-park day, if at all possible, the day that they kind of hang and chill a little bit close to the resort, maybe take advantage of the pool or the amenities. What day in Dopey do you think is the perfect day for them to plan? Should it be the 5K day? Should it be the marathon day, half marathon? What day is their day that they should really consider kind of just using those amenities, staying close to home, resting up a little bit more, and maybe skipping a bit more of the parks?
I think probably the half marathon day, because you'll finish a little bit later and then you really just want to stay off your feet. But you're going to have the marathon the next day and you don't want to be putting that much stress on yourself. I know if I was younger, I've considered the fact of just trying to like pull an all-nighter. So maybe there's like some really dopey people out there who are thinking like, yeah, we're here at Disney, we could just stay up through the night and then be there for the 5 a.m. start, run the race and go back and pass out for the rest of the day.
It can also be like when you get done with the races, have like a quick breakfast, get some fuel in you so you can start that recovery. Maybe you do the parks in the morning and maybe you go back towards lunchtime or that early afternoon. Maybe you go take a nap while they bring them to the pool or do some of those activities, so you're not missing out on those park memories and you're still taking care of yourself, but making sure that the kids are taken care of, they have a good time. So don't sleep on maybe taking that afternoon nap. I know that we did it for Springtime Surprise and it was a game changer, and it takes a little bit of the stress off of trying to get so much sleep in the evening portion. Again, maybe that gives you the extra little liberty to have that 6 o'clock dinner and then they can go off so you don't feel like you're missing the bigger moments, especially if this is a big vacation that you guys have been planning for a lot of time. I feel like the pool can kind of be like the gimme.
Yeah, fantastic. So I am also curious. I think that what I hear a lot is trepidation of people going into this, if this is their first time, or maybe even if it's their 10th or 11th time, maybe not quite as much trepidation, but there's always a little bit of trepidation, or maybe training didn't go as well as we hoped, whatever the case may be. What would you suggest to people in terms of their mindset, or what kind of mental motivating tricks would you suggest they use for this 4-day adventure?
I think positive mindset can go a long way. It's not always easy. I know I had a lot of challenges this fall when I was training for Chicago, and you can definitely get in your own head. But if you can stay positive and just tell yourself, you know, you're going to get there, put one foot in front of the other, you know, whatever mantra you need to tell yourself, like, this is the day I get to run, you know, I have this opportunity, and so many people don't. I've been looking forward to it. Like, just stay positive about it and go out and do your best. If you have to slow down, slow down. Like, there's, you know, there's a lot of encouragement along the courses, even in the sections that may not get the most exciting reputation. Like, Disney does try to bring out some characters there, and they try, especially the half and the full, there's marching bands, cheer groups. So, you know, just take it all in, enjoy the weekend, like, try to relax about it and take that pressure off of yourself so you can be positive. You know, find a friend, maybe, like, someone just to, like, keep you motivated.
Even if you don't have a friend, you'll find one on those courses. I will say, I have never had so many connections with people during a race that I've had with Disney. And now, you talked about, like, the not so glamorous parts of the race course. One thing that's really fun that I'm super jealous of that you've gotten to do while you ran this particular weekend, you actually got to do a ride during Dopey. Can you tell us about that a little bit? Because that, to me, like, drinks, it sparks so much joy.
Yeah, this past year in 2023, I actually did two rides because I had, that was during the marathon. And a couple of years ago, they did change the marathon course. So the miles through Animal Kingdom come a little bit later in the course. And just with the timing of when I started and when I got there in prior years, Everest had not been open. But then this year, I saw it was open, and I was with a friend who, side story later, maybe, but I was with a friend, and we were like, oh yeah, let's do Everest. So they're just, like, waving you right on to the ride. They know that the runners want to do it. It's maybe a not so secret thing, but they wave you in, you come out, you get your photo, and then you keep going. And we went through Hollywood Studios and Tower of Terror, same thing. They're waving you in. So we're like, yeah, let's go Tower of Terror. So we did that one. And then she went on Test Track in Epcot, but it was too close to the finish, and I just kind of wanted to get to that finish line at that point. So I
didn't want
to
test it out.
Yeah, I didn't want to test it.
Oh, so I do have a question about the rides. How do you get your photos? Did you have to tap, like, your photo pass card?
Maybe. I can't remember if I was wearing the Magic Band. I must have been wearing...
Pro tip, take it anyway, because you never know when you're going to whip that out and use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know.
That's what we're going to suggest, folks. So go ahead and wear your Magic Band just in case, because I'm sure there is some magical pixie dust of facial recognition technology, but maybe not. So let's go ahead and just plan if you really do want those photos of taking your photo or taking a ride during a marathon. That is one of the things that I think really does stand out with Disney, and that's why it's become such a big bucket list item. What are some of the practical tips that you would have for folks that maybe are considering going out there? Because you have PR'd on one of the courses, would you say this is a good weekend to tackle PRs? Would you consider suggesting more of a conservative approach? Or how would you have people tackle it in terms of the 5K, 10K, and saving that energy up for that big marathon to finish it up?
I have never tried to PR the 5K or the 10K, but that could just be because it's not a typical distance that I'll try to PR. So usually my strategy would be to take those ones pretty easy and relaxed, just like conversation pace, photo here and there. I did realize yesterday, like, I think I only have one photo from the 2015 5K. So I don't know what happened there. It must have been running to work and like in a hurry, because I said I'll stop for one photo and then get out of here. But try to take those pretty conservative. And then usually I'll take the half also conservative. Again, try and either run walk or conversation pace running with photo stop. And then a couple of years I have tried to pick up the pace for the marathon. And I think it was 2019, I got a PR in the marathon. And then this year, the weather for the half was really good. And I was just like, well, you know, my friend who's really faster than me, he was in the corral with me. And he's like, yeah, let's just go for it. You can do it. And he was like really encouraging. So we did race, or I raced. It might have been too easy for him, but we raced and I PR'd on the half, but then I was so sore the next day. So unless it's something you really think you're prepared for, I would not recommend that. I'm going back to the original tried and true strategy this year. But he PR'd the marathon the next day. So to each their own pace is really...
Right. Absolutely. I do wholeheartedly agree with that. It's like we have a bit of a conversation here where we talk about minding your own plate. You can mind your own pace as well. Like just you do you and what works for you.
You can do a nice speed walk, feel good, and be able to still enjoy the sceneries. Because again, there are going to be time constraints that are going to be a little bit tighter going into the other days. So just take it slow. Use it to help go through like the seven dwarves of emotions and realize that, like you said in the beginning, Christine, like, oh, I actually did do this. Like we're gonna make it happen.
Yeah, which is actually going to be my next question, Tricia. So what about the folks that they're still on the fence? This sounds exciting. They definitely think that at Everest on a marathon after doing 4 days is what they want for their lives. It's a big bucket list item, but they're a little fearful. They're a little filled with dread as to actually pulling the trigger of trying to gain their own dopey bib. What would you suggest for those folks in terms of, should they go after it at a specific time? Do they need to kind of like address something in their lives before they go ahead and make this happen?
I think it's good to have some half marathons under your belt. You know, I had done dopey also as my first marathon. So I can't really say, yeah, you definitely need to have a marathon first, but it's probably good to have experience with Run Disney before you do dopey. That would be the one thing I would say. Don't do dopey as your first Run Disney just because it's so overwhelming. Do one of like the 2 or 3 day races, like, you know, Princess or Wine and Dine or Springtime can be a good warm up to see if you do like that multi-day endurance activity.
Right. And for folks that maybe don't have the ability to do that, you could try your own little mini simulation where you may have a local race that falls on a Saturday and then another local race on a Sunday. See if you actually enjoy the fact of getting up early for both, that mental preparation that goes into it, the fact that you're not able to necessarily rest as much as you would normally or party as much and celebrate as much as you would normally after that first race is done. So I think that's a great idea. I love the fact that you're also suggesting that, yes, everything is possible, but maybe spending a bit more time and building a really solid foundation before tackling this will help you to feel stronger for that dopey challenge weekend. So of course, you have quite a few other foundations under your belt and achievements under your belt. So tell us how you tackle some of these other goals, because I feel like you've got really some fun and the work for 2024.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just knowing how much you can do and kind of when to say no, because especially as I've met more people, everyone's like, sign up for this, sign up for that. And around this time of year, I've really learned from prior mistakes, just, you know, keep things simple and don't sign up for everything. So I am signed up for Celebration Half Marathon in January. And then after that, I have Rome, Italy, as a full marathon in March. It's around the time of my birthday. And I really want to go back to Italy. So try to mix in some fun. You know, I've been working on the World Marathon Majors, but as we all know, it's not so easy to get in if you're just kind of like the average pace person. So I'm halfway there and have my fingers crossed for this London drawing. But if I don't, there's so much other stuff to do. Like you, we were talking about things that might be good entry or trial points for Dopey. Like everyone's talking about Flying Pig in May. And I know they have a 2-day challenge. Cape Cod, Massachusetts has the Chowda challenge for Shelby. I know we have a lot of pronunciation issues that come up, so I thought I'd get a Boston one out there. But yeah, there's some other challenges out there. Everybody has tons of suggestions for things to do. I know some friends just got into Chicago and they'll go cheer them on, do the 5K there. It's like there's just so much, and I don't want to be limited by the fact that I do Dopey every year, but it is one of those things. Like if you want to be trained for it and you want to be feeling strong and healthy, and I think you don't want to overextend yourself.
I think that's a pretty powerful statement for the record in terms of everything, not just running, but like truly learning our limitations of, not our limitations, I should say, but what makes us feel the best, and saying no sometimes is exactly what we need to help us really prioritize what is most exciting for us. So with that said, what's really most exciting for us is food. And you kind of already nailed on it. You talked about Rome, you talked about Boston and with chowder. And now I definitely want like some kind of a clam chowder, especially since we're getting, I don't know, our unseasonably cold 60 degrees around here. So tell us more about, we know your Team Savory, like 100%. I think you may have like maybe occasionally you may dabble over to Team Sweet, but you're definitely Team Savory for the most part.
We're bagel sisters. Don't get it twisted.
You totally are. I know that for a fact. What's your best go-to savory food or restaurant recommendation that you feel somebody that's coming to Walt Disney World for this weekend should experience?
I don't know if this is just a Florida place, but First Watch is really good for brunch, because it depends what time you go, but I think you can usually get breakfast or like lunch options, and they do have sweet and savory. So you can get like, you know, sweet huge pancakes, or you can get some savory skillets, and a lot of their stuff is pretty fresh, and you know, you know what you're eating. So I think that's one of the most important things during that weekend is don't eat anything new. Like, just if you know something is going to bother your stomach, don't eat it. I'm lactose intolerant, so I really do have to like be careful with what I'm eating, especially at restaurants and in new places. But that's one of the restaurants I've found, like if you say, I want this skillet without cheese, like they're pretty good about serving.
I will say on my list, I want talking about not going to restaurants you don't know, but if I'm coming, I want to try it. I still have yet to try Chef Art Smith's Homecoming in Downtown Disney Springs. I'll always call it Downtown Disney. That seems, I will say too, going to what you said about like dietary, I feel like as much as people do try to shy away sometimes from the crowds and everything, most of the places either on Disney property or on one of the offshoots are very good about figuring out the dietary restrictions. So I'm a vegetarian or pescatarian, whatever you want to call it. And even being at the resorts, I found it very easy and very seamless to find those different dietary needs. So for those, again, traveling into, but I do like First Watch. First Watch is top notch.
I love First Watch as well. So definitely that's a great one. If you guys didn't make your food reservations and you're figuring out where to go celebrate, definitely look at adding that in as to how close it may be on property. Well, with that said, Tricia, we are super, super, super excited to have you. And thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge, because I feel like there's so many great things that people can walk away here from doing more of a time shifter type strategy to helping with those early wake ups, all the way to remembering that although they're there to have a great time, that there still is practicing a bit of restraint and maybe not having all of the Mickey shaped foods until at least you're done with that marathon if you're tackling Dopey that weekend. So really great knowledge here. Thank you so much for coming on. We love having you. You're welcome anytime at brunch and can't wait to see you at Dopey this year.
Yay. Thank you guys so much. And if you want more tips, I am posting them on my Instagram for the next upcoming countdown to Dopey here. Just follow me at Perfectly Dopey for these little countdown tips and things. And you can always ask me more questions too. Happy to share and encourage everybody.
And you guys should be following her anyway, because talk about just year round, tons of great information and tons of inspiration, because usually I'm still sleeping when you're already running, and then getting up in the morning and seeing all of your incredible runs definitely puts an extra pep in my step to get out there for my running. So thank you so much. And of course, thank you again for Tricia for giving us all a little extra pep in our step and encouraging all of you that are tackling at Dopey or looking to get registered here soon. Now, we've heard every single one of our guests mention over and over again, the Run Disney community has something a little extra magical. So last but certainly not least, we are excited to welcome in our final guest for this brunch episode that was jam-packed with so much goodies. And this individual is going to share with us not just about the Run Disney community and how to navigate some of the details from race morning to expo. I feel that he also is going to show us what the joy and camaraderie in this unique running experience is all about. And my friends, he's bringing a few of his running buddies. So to all of our listeners, we want to remind you before we bring in our guests that whether this is your first Run Disney event, you're a seasoned pro, or you haven't registered yet, every step you take is an achievement. Let's welcome on in our next guest. Friends, we are so excited to bring this guest to the brunch table because I feel that he embodies the spirit of perseverance, lots of creativity, and absolutely the joy of movement. Dr. Andrew Strickland, fondly known for those in the Run Disney community and beyond as Puppet Runner. Hello, Andrew. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello there, and hello, everyone.
I have to ask you, what inspired you to take the plunge into the Run Disney event world?
So Disney was a love of mine long before running. And it took me a long time to actually make it to Disney to run a race. The races just always hit at horrible times for me with my theater seasons and with my teaching schedule. I just didn't make it. And I finally said, okay, I got to make it down to one. It's never going to be convenient. It's not going to happen. So, but I love that place. I got to get down there and do it. And so I think it was 2008. I finally made it down there, was able to run the 5K. It was the Family Safari 5K. It was through Animal Kingdom. It was a trip. And then I ran the full marathon. I think it was my third marathon, something like that. And it was as magical as ever. It's changed a good bit over the years, but I was hooked. I ran it in costume. I mean, I'm a theater person, of course, and it's Disney. Of course, I'm in a costume. I ran it dressed as Tigger, and I started to get my first taste of what the Run Disney community was like, and I was hooked, and I've been coming back since.
I have to say, of all the characters, I feel like Tigger has a really special place because for you specifically, you have such an exuberant, joyful energy. When I think of Tigger, that it feels like that was a very natural costume for your first trip out. But what makes Run Disney now stand out from all the other races that you've done? Again, as a marathon maniac, you've done them all pretty much. So how does it stand out as a running event from all of the others?
It is, to me, it is the definition of event running. It is, there is something happening from the second you hit property to the time you leave. The races are so filled. But for me, it's the community that has developed. It is a full running community in itself. It has different traditions, different customs, and people can be in other places, but there's a whole different set of rules and expectations and sort of mental focus for doing a Disney race. And it's a place where I think more people do their first race. A lot of people, their first and last race, you know, they check it off the list and they move on. There's those who meant it to be their first and only. And there's just something about the community, the way Run Disney works, that it just draws people back. And I think that's the big difference for those folks who may not think of themselves as a runner, may not, you know, that's not their number one things they identify as, but it's something they've always wanted to do, or they thought, well, what kind of person does that? Could I do that? I think there's no better place for that than Run Disney events.
That's something that we're hearing from all of our guests, specifically on Run Disney. It's the community. Yet everybody leaves feeling that sense of belonging, that sense of community, and starting to maybe even change their identity or how they perceive themselves. That's, I think, what truly makes it magical.
I tell people before they, if they're not familiar with Run Disney, especially if they're runners, I tell them to go into a Run Disney race looking for what you want to get out of it, and understand that other people are going to be looking for something different. And that's something I really try to encourage through social media and talking to people during races, to, you know, don't get frustrated because these people want to run, walk, and take pictures with 10 characters. That's awesome.
Right.
If you want to do a very focused pace and PR, you can do that. But allow those awesome people who have a different focus and a different goal for the race to enjoy it.
What sticks out to you as something that folks may need to know going into their first Run Disney weekend?
It's huge. That's probably the first thing. If you're not familiar with Disney property, you're not ready for how big Disney property is. It's ginormous. It's going to be a race with, depending on the race that you're doing, it's going to be from 10 to 20,000 people doing it. That's a lot of people to get a packet. It's a lot of people to line up. It's a lot of people to get on a bus. Now, the good thing is nobody handles a zillion people better than Disney. It's what they do. That's their 24-hour a day gig, is dealing with a bunch of people. But that also means you're going to do it the Disney way, which means picking up your packet isn't going to be showing up the morning of the race and going to a table. It's going to be coming there at least the day before and running the gauntlet that is ESPN Wide World of Sports. And I love that place. I remember my first marathon, and you know, I'd been at Disney a ton, but I'd never been there. I'd seen pictures. And I went in and my jaw dropped. You'd think I would be used to the size of Disney after, you know, decades there. Looked around going, this place is huge. And then realizing, and it wasn't even in as many buildings then as it is now. But I said, okay, I have to go to this arena to pick up this. And then in this arena, I pick up this. But then there's some other vendors that are in the baseball stadium, which they were at that time. And if you weren't prepared for that, I mean, you get information, and the information tells you what you do, but you just don't get the scale. You don't realize that you're going to park in a huge parking lot, and you're going to walk a long way before you get to a gate, and you're going to walk a long way to the back of the buildings before you find stop one in the Run Disney packet pickup gauntlet. And it's not a bad experience. It usually, unless you're there right at the very beginning, it usually flows great. Again, Disney moves people like no one else. It's a pleasant experience, but it is a whole experience. It's not too different than if you you know, run one of the other major races. If you go, run Peachtree in Atlanta, on the, you're going to be there one of the days before the 4th of July. You're going to go to a convention center. You're going to go here for this and here for this. It's not that different. It's just big.
I think you nailed it. It is a very on par with like the major marathons or the major race day experiences. I think folks just don't expect it because they expect Disney to not have as much of those expo experiences, but it is. I actually would liken it to potentially your first official shakeout of the race weekend, because you are going to be putting in 3 to 4, maybe even 5 miles on your feet, depending where you get parked and how much you want to explore.
There's a learning curve, but there's also someone, there's a cast member every, every 50 yards, and you have an amazing group of runners all around you that you could go up to anybody. And we do that. I've done this for people regularly. They go, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, come with me, my friend.
Exactly.
Pack and pick up. I'm going there too. Here we go. I'll get you.
Exactly. Absolutely. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's the cast members are incredible. And thank you so much to the volunteers and the cast members that make it possible for us to have these race weekends. The running community itself, if you're just willing to say, hey, where's the packet pickup or where's the shirt pickup? Someone's going to probably go with you, take a photo with you with one of the incredible photo pass photographers, which brings us to the next thing, of course. So we know Expo's pretty intense, but a wonderful experience. What would you say, now we've gotten our packet, we've picked that up, we're ready there. How does that translate to a first trimer going to their first race for the weekend? Maybe they're doing just the 5K, maybe they're doing a challenge, whatever the case may be. What are some of the things that they should be prepared of for race day?
In some ways, it's like races like Boston, where you're gonna have to get yourself on a bus to get out to where the start line is. It's not, you can't drive and park and find a parking space 5 feet from the start line. Here you go. It's probably going to be more complicated. If you're in one of the Disney resorts, they're going to have transportation for you, and it's good. There'll be a bus waiting there at, 2 something in the morning, 3 in the morning for you to hop on. And there's occasionally some buses going in weird directions, but most of the time they'll get you to that start line. There's a zillion buses to get you back. It's good. But there's still, where does the bus come to my resort? Where do I, when's the last one going to be? So there's a lot of that. You can drive to them, but that's also, there's a lot of roads closing. And so it's a matter of, okay, when does this road close? And that can be very frustrating. You're not used to the road closures. You're not used to property. You can park in a parking lot, but then you're probably going to have to walk, what'd you say, 3/4 of a mile, a mile?
Yeah, about a mile is what I've clocked for the most part. So I would definitely say that in this conversation, I think what I would love folks to know going into it is that if they did not prepare for some extra time on their feet before and after those training runs, that they likely should at least prepare for getting some extra rest during those race weekends, because they are going to have a bit more extra time on their feet, some extra mileage that they accumulate.
I take if you take the bus there, you're still going to have to walk a considerable distance to go through security and get over to the area. There's just lots of steps to go through. That is my warm up. I usually do a warm up walk or a warm up run before a race. I just count all the walking I'm going to do from the bus to the staging area to everywhere else as that. And then, when you're preparing for the race, it's not like you go right to the start line. There's a massive, massive staging area. It's like a tent city. This thing is huge. And so you're trying to figure out, where are the porta potties? Well, there's 120 of them over there. Where's the packet pickup? Well, there's some big trucks over there that the stuff's going to go. So it's all there, but it's just, again, at a big scale, but tons of people around. And see, I think runners in general are awesome people to talk to no matter where you go. I have, whether it's Disney or anywhere else I've ever run, I find that most runners are really helpful, kind people. Multiply that times about 100 at a Run Disney race. Now, for people who aren't used to talking, I tell a story regularly that I'm a bit of an introvert. That shocks everybody. But if it means talking to someone I don't know or asking for help, goodness gracious, that's not comfortable for me. Get used to talking to people at Run Disney events. If that's not comfortable for you, break out of the shell. Because you can turn left or right, and there is someone who you can say, okay, I have no clue. Where do I go? And they'll go, what do you need to do? And they'll take you there. You know, they'll encourage you. You can be nervous before. I see people like looking super nervous before a race. I'll go up to them and go, hey, you okay? You got this. You know, this could be fine. The support system is there. And the cast members are there, but your fellow runners are there. The volunteers are there. You are fine. And you can, if you can't figure it out, they will figure it out for you. And so I would say, don't let the scale intimidate you. And it just works out. It's fine.
Andrew, what I love what you're saying here is you've given some incredible tips, because you've talked about you're going to have some logistics that maybe you wouldn't have in your hometown, 5K, 10K, half marathon, whatever the case may be. So you have to take into account maybe a little bit of extra time building it into expo, building a little bit extra time for race morning. But the most invaluable thing that you've said here is that if you are not walking away with the opportunity to make a new bestie in that corral, then you didn't do the Run Disney events correctly. You should at least strike up a quick conversation with your corral mates, because you're going to be in there for some time. So let's get into some of that corral stuff, because you've already hit on it. You're going to do a little bit of a warm-up walk. You're going to get to this incredible staging area. I personally love the staging area to kind of help pump me up, wake me up a bit more with all the great music and the DJs and the fun and the dance and seeing all the incredible costumes. But if we make our way into our corral, we're likely going to be there for a little bit. What kind of tips do you have for folks regarding this corral?
The first is, you don't have to pack into the front of it. And that's going to come as a shock to even seasoned Run Disney folk. The corrals are huge. There's room for all the people in it, plus usually a couple hundred more, really. It's a lot of space. They're huge. You're in there with thousands of people in your corral. It's just that big. A lot of people are really worried about time at Disney races, especially from about mid-pack on. The not making the finish line in time is a dominating terror that haunts people. And so the idea is, I'm going to get to the front of my corral, and that's going to get me an extra 7 minutes or something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But I would also say you might be better off finding a spot in the corral where you can stretch a little bit, where you can move around, where you can walk and talk to somebody, where you can, you know, shift your position so you're not standing stock still for 30 minutes. There's video screens and there's stuff to watch, there's people to talk to, but you don't have to pack in there. I'm not sure if the couple minutes it might buy you is worth, you know, the lack of motion you have. My thing over the last couple years, I have become a huge fan of lurking at the back of my corral. It is the best thing ever. I almost hate to mention it because other people are going to do it and my fun's going to go away. And I wound up there by accident, especially when Disney starts the races in the Epcot parking lot instead of out on the roads like they do for the marathon. They love taking us on these hairpin, like paths. So we're always turning back against ourselves to get to the start line. I often, with races, I often do interviews with Riley Claremont at the start line. So I have to be on that inside edge to talk to Riley. Now, because of that, I always get pushed back to the back because everyone's kind of packing in there on the turn and no one's going on the outside. So I found myself kind of, you know, like a watermelon seed, just sort of shot to the back of the corral. And then I realized I had miles of space and air. And then I looked behind me and I saw this wall of people with a little ribbon in front of them, which was the corral behind me, you know, waiting to come. And it was the funniest thing, because I'm here with all this space and behind me are like 2,000 people packed in, like right up at me. And it was I was like, hello, everyone. And they're like, hi. I was like, ah.
You're painting these incredible pictures. I can see them vividly in my head, the experiences of being at Run Disney Weekend. But let's talk about the dreaded pace that people are so scared of, because there's so much fear leading up to any Run Disney Weekend that the balloon ladies are there to terrorize us, though we know that they're definitely not. But can you talk a little bit about maybe some pacing strategies, knowing that everybody's different and their training may have been different, but what are some just general good practices for pacing during a Run Disney event?
You know, it is very different for each person. I know a lot of people use the run walk very successfully. The big thing is relentless forward momentum. Keep moving forward. Be deliberate in what you want to do. Be aware of your pace. You know, if you're wanting to stop for 10 characters, know that you're going to have to add, you know, another hour plus to your time.
Right.
If you want to do that, you may have to, you know, you may have to up that pace a bit. And train. This gets into the fact that Disney races are often a first time race. Half marathons and marathons are really hard to fake. You can do it, but you're not going to be happy. Train, you know, train at that pace, put some time in on it, you know, get some friends out there to drag you around, take your dog out, let your dog out in the neighborhood. But if you're going to do this, you want to do this and not be miserable. Train at that pace. Give yourself a little comfortable margin so it's not absolutely terrorizing you during the race. Now, that being said, what's the worst that happens? And that is you get swept. Well, not that horrible a thing. I know it's a big fear of everyone, but, you know, if you make it 18 miles of a marathon, you made 18 miles. Congratulations. They're going to give you your medal, and you can do whatever you feel you need to do to earn it. You think you need to go out there and when it's over and do another 8 miles to earn it, go do that.
Right.
No one is going to think less of you for getting swept doing a marathon or a half marathon or a 10K, because the vast majority of this world is not getting off their couch. So if you're getting to a distance, you're accomplishing great things. So I would just worry less about the pace in general. We all want to get to the finish line. We want to encourage each other to the finish line. I know when I made it a point the last few races to not do one of the races and be there on the sidelines cheering for people. And when I see the folks coming and I see the balloons bobbing, you know, in the distance, my heart starts pounding and I'm trying to encourage people on because I want them to have that finish. I want them to have that joy. But that's not really the ultimate thing of a Run Disney race. The finish line, this sounds crazy for a race, the finish line is not the ultimate goal. The journey is way better than the finish line. Finish lines are great. You know what the best part of the finish line is to me? You get to stop.
Absolutely.
Best part of any finish line, I love running. The only thing I love more than running is stopping.
Especially after running, for sure. Andrew, I think I want to like take that entire clip and segment and I'm going to loop it for my own like morning motivation to get out, because it is so much about the journey. And we do forget that leading into race weekends, because yes, it is the culmination of our hard working efforts. It's a culmination of a lot of sacrifices and challenges that may have come our way, but it still is not what defines you in your journey. Truly, it is all of the work leading up to. That's just a celebration lap. So I love that reminder. I do want to talk a little bit about spectating as well. But before we get into that, I have to ask you, you've already touched on it. We've got these character stops. We've got these musical stops. We've got some big screen TVs out there. So as a theater director, as someone who absolutely has entertainment running through your veins, how is Run Disney and all of their entertainment aspect, how is that different than, let's say, other races? But more so, what do you think of it as a theater director?
Part of it for me is just thinking of the logistics of what it would take to get this many performers, this many cool set pieces, this many musicians and bands and all of these people to all of these places before roads are closed and keep them going for the hours it takes to entertain everyone. I mean, it's a massive undertaking. And that's one of the reasons why it's not at most races. I mean, if some races have managed some success over the years with maybe some music at a few places, but as far as a beginning to end story and performance, that's Disney. They're the ones. I love it. I think of it as kind of a running buffet in that there are a lot of things and you can kind of take what you need from them and just sort of enjoy the rest as you go by. I know for me in my first one, I was just motivated by running through the parks. That's all I needed. Other stuff was cool, but all I needed was to run down Main Street and run through Animal Kingdom. That would have kept me going forever. You know, running through Epcot at the end, that would have kept me going. I rarely ever stop at a character stop. I've kind of become a character stop over the last couple of years, but that's a whole other story.
That's what we're going to talk about next. Let's go ahead and touch on that. So where does, for those that haven't yet encountered Puppet Runner, where does this name come from? What does it mean?
I had actually been doing a Run Disney for a while before the Puppet Runner thing started. It was supposed to be one time. This was not supposed to be a thing. It was the 2019 Wine and Dine. It's like, okay, if I'm going to do this, and I figured it might be the only time I ever did Wine and Dine, I said, I got to do this in costume, and it has to be special. And I'm like, well, Wine and Dine, what am I going to dress up in? And so I'm playing around with thinking of food and that sort of thing. And about that time, I've been a puppet collector forever. I'm in theater, and so puppets sometimes come along with that. And one of my favorite puppet making companies, Folkmanis, they make very realistic animal puppets. They had just gotten a contract with Disney and just to do a limited series of puppets. And they had just released a Remy from Ratatouille puppet that was astounding. You know, the puppet was huge. It's like, I think I can manage that for an hour. So I said, okay, so if I'm going to run with him, I'll dress up as a chef. I'm not skinny enough to pull off linguine. My personal shape is a little closer to Gusto than linguine. So I said, I will dress up as Gusto. No one will dress up as Gusto. That's pretty unique. So I got myself a chef coat. I researched and found, you know, they make them to be worn in hot kitchens. So I figured during a 10K, it would be fine. I just got that chef hat. Had Gusto's embroidered on the back and said, I'll do this for the 10K. And I was doing the half marathon too, but I was like, there is no way I am going to run with a puppet on my arm for a half marathon. I will die. Holy cow. It was like being in the entourage of a rock star. Remy is a rock star. This puppet, now I've worked with puppets forever. I am a puppeteer. And I was finding ways to really use him because I was figuring this out as I ran. I had never even tried it before. Like, it's a 10K. I run 10Ks all the time. I'll be fine. But I was finding ways to interact with people. And, you know, I could look one way and have him look and kind of react. And I was having a good old time. I must have been stopped, I don't know how many times, by people who wanted to take selfies with me. And when I run, I often go inside myself. You know, I'm doing math. I'm going, okay, if I keep this pace up, if I lose 10 seconds, that's just people motivate them different ways. I motivate by playing mile math. With Remy on my hand, that wasn't happening because I was going to have to talk to everyone around me because they wanted to talk to me. It completely changed the way I ran races.
I feel like Remy may be a fan favorite for you. He has your heart since it was kind of your first puppet running experience at Disney. But do you have a favorite puppet? Are you allowed to choose a favorite, like children?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure you're allowed to choose a favorite puppet. But as far as a favorite running partner, it is definitely Remy. Because what happened was I went back to my hotel that night just moved by the experience of this. And I've told my family, I said, I have to wash this costume. I have to run with him tomorrow. I have to do the half marathon. My wife was like, how's your arm going to be? I said, oh, I'm probably not going to be able to move it after the run, but I gotta try it because there's something happening with this. I wasn't sure what it was, but it changed how I looked at the race. I said, I gotta try this again. And when I did it the next day, it just, that was it. I think within a week after that, I was planning how to run other races with a puppet because it connected me with people.
Yeah, I think what it does is it lowers that threshold of being anxious to talk to the individual because you assume that the individual has to be a bit more extroverted or a little bit more willing to talk to you or chit chat. But I will say that you as a spectator as well with Remy is extraordinary for folks to experience because again, it is, as you mentioned, you become a character stop, except that it's almost like having a friend as your character stop because you are so encouraging and so motivational out there for the runners. So I have to take time to call that out and thank you so much for doing that. When you're not running, we appreciate you out there when you can get out there for sure.
I honestly think I get as much or more out of cheering as the runners do. If to the runners who've done Disney forever and you haven't cheered for one, try to find a way to do it because I tell you, you will not regret it and you're going to find yourself doing it more because these folks are inspiring.
Absolutely. But the one thing that we haven't covered is the food at Run Disney and Disney weekends. So friend, we couldn't be at brunch without chatting about food. What would you say is your must-have food, snack, or Disney reservation that you always want to snag when you come down here for a Run Disney event?
I am a major foodie. So you are right. You are right into my wheelhouse now. My favorite restaurant on property is Chef Art Smith's Homecoming over at Disney Springs. I adore that restaurant. Florida home cooking, taken up to gourmet levels. It's astonishingly good. That's always on my list if I can get it there. But see, other favorites of mine, I love Boma over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Just an amazing variety. If you're into different experiences with food. Boma pulls from a lot of different African cultures, but in a very approachable way. So it's not, if you're kind of scared of trying something a little different, you're going to be fine there, but you're going to get to experience some flavors that are amazing that you might never try. And I think that's a wonderful place that I enjoy. I enjoy Beer Garden. I'm give me a German band and schnitzel and I'm
I love it as well. It's so fun. It's festive in there. I think it's a lot of fun to have to snag a reservation. And those are actually a little bit easier to come by sometimes. So I'm a big fan of it as well.
A reservation there next week. I am already looking forward to it. But I also love the festivals in Epcot. I could go broke eating my way. You know, people talk about drinking their way around Epcot. Forget that. I'm gonna eat my way around Epcot. Because I could tell you a favorite at like almost every booth. The variety of food, people don't understand. Food at, you know, people go, it's a theme park, it's this, the food's not, no. Epcot has the best food around. It's just amazing. There's more good food than you can even taste in an entire trip there.
I know you can't pick a favorite puppet. You do have a favorite running buddy. Do you also have a favorite Run Disney weekend event?
Yeah, I do. It's Marathon Weekend.
It is.
But Marathon Weekend was my first. And Marathon Weekend has the marathon. And there is nothing that tests me personally like a marathon still. I mean, I've done longer races. I've done 24-hour races. I've done some crazy things. But there's just something about the marathon and the mountain that is, and doing it at Disney is still the best. And so that weekend will forever forever be my favorite.
Again, I have to thank you so much, because what I'm hearing is, for folks that are going into Marathon Weekend, or maybe they are considering signing up for a Run Disney event, that they should absolutely take the plunge. One, because they get to potentially hopefully meet Puppet Runner, but also because it is such an incredible, very different experience than all other run or all other running experiences can be. Now, again, folks, you're going to want to stay in touch. So use that episode notes, the links for puppetrunner.com and all of his social media, because I'm walking away motivated and inspired. You guys will absolutely walk away motivated and inspired as well for this race weekend and all the future ones. Thank you, Andrew, for joining us.
And hey, to everyone, if you see me at a race, don't be shy. Come talk to me. I would love to talk to you. Some people I hear from later, oh, I saw you, but I didn't want to disturb you. Please, you're not disturbing me. Come talk. Let's share our running journey together and just have a great time. Can't wait to see everyone out there. If you're not sure if you can do it, you can do it. Trust me. Trust me, I'm a chubby middle-aged guy who runs long distances with a puppet on his hand. If I can do it, you got this. You got this.
Again, thank you so much to Andrew, and he's absolutely right in the infamous words of Walt Disney, if you can dream it, you can do it. And just like that, we have crossed the finish line of today's episode. But remember, the magic doesn't end here. Be sure to download our Ultimate Run Disney Guide from episode notes. It's your free passport to successful, stress-free, relatively, Run Disney experience. Again, to all of the first-timers, the Run Disney vets, and the dreamers, you've got this. Let this podcast be your source of inspiration, and hopefully you've walked away with quite a bit of practical advice. Remember, in the world of Run Disney, every mile is magic, and until next time, keep running towards your dreams.
Thank you for joining Time for Brunch. If today's conversation sparked your interest, be sure to join our supportive online community.
Don't forget to sign up for our weekly newsletters to keep the inspiration flowing.
It's packed with insights, stories, and tips to fuel your journey of growth.
Follow us, subscribe, and stay connected. Until next time, keep smiling and let your journey shine.